بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And last week we concluded with سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى عند قوله تعالى سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. And we explored and we found out that this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Messenger that we will make you recite, then you will not forget. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learned that he was rushing. Part of his attitude is that he was rushing to acquire the Qur'an quickly, so he cannot forget the Qur'an. He had this worry and this concern that he might forget the Qur'an, so he would rush in order to acquire it all. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He takes away this worry from him and He promises him, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. We will make you recite, so then you will not forget. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed. Now, the word Allah uses for willed is sha', and you know the word sha' comes from the word shay', and shay' is something. In other words, sha' refers to a concrete intention, a solid decision, as opposed to the word arad. So Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't say illa ma arad Allah. That would have meant except what Allah wanted. But sha' means a decision built on knowledge, something that is firm, which that's why it comes from the word shay', which means something. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by using the word illa ma sha', by using the word sha', He is telling us, He lets us know that even if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgets an ayah, it is not like it's something casual. It's not like it's something, he forgot about it and all good. When Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ, when He uses this word, then what He's actually trying to say is that the Prophet ﷺ forgets an ayah, and that forgetfulness of the ayah is something that is planned. It is from Allah Azza wa Jal's knowledge, and it's from Allah's plan that this ayah will be forgotten. You know, just take this as an example. When a teacher is dictating to his students and the students are writing, and then sometimes the teacher says, oh, no, forget about that. Don't worry about it. Write this now. Now when the teacher says this, he says this because he didn't think it through enough. He didn't plan what he's saying. So it just came out like this. But in terms of the Quran, when the Prophet ﷺ forgets, or Allah makes him forget the Quran, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has planned this. Unlike the teacher, he hasn't planned what to say to the student. Write something, then forget about it, remove it, then write something else. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has already planned that this is going to be revealed now. It's going to stay for a couple of years, and then it will become abrogated. It will go away. He will make everyone forget it. So this is part of the plan of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that's why He used the word sha', which means this is a concrete intention, a solid decision. So you will not forget except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for you to forget. And this is known, as we said last week, as an-nasakh, which is abrogation. And what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgets has already been planned and decreed that he will forget. And we said it's not like some people, and we said we spoke about like a Rafidah, the Shia. Part of their creed is that they believe in something called Al-Bada'. This is part of their creed. And we said Al-Bada' is, they say, oh, Allah Azza wa Jal would have changed his mind on something because he knew later on that something is better than something else, so then he replaces it. And this actually is a Jewish creed. This came from the Jews originally, and then it was entered into their belief. And the Jews, and how did this come about with them, is when Allah Azza wa Jal created the creation, and then the creation and man started to become spread out in somewhere called Babel, which is in Iraq. And then a lot of corruption happened, and a lot of mischief, and a lot of bloodshed happened, a lot of oppression happened. The Jews say, then Allah Azza wa Jal, He regretted that He created the creation because of all this and that happened from the creation. Anyway, this is something that came from the Jews, and then it was inserted into the ideology and into the belief system of the Shia. And this is something inappropriate to say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when you say this, when you believe in this bada', then what actually you've done is you do not believe in the two names of Allah, which is Al-Alim and Al-Hakim, the all-knowing and the all-wise. You're saying that there's Allah doesn't know 100%, and then there's not 100% wisdom behind what He does. And subhanAllah, this surah, it began with سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Declare the perfection, of the name of your Lord. Yani in other words, don't say inappropriate things about Allah. And to say what the Shia say in terms of Al-Bada', then this is actually saying something inappropriate towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where the problem happens is this concept of nasakh. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forget? Why did Allah make him forget? And what is the wisdom behind nasakh? Inshallah ta'ala, I'll share this with you so we can understand yani what nasakh is and why does Allah azza wa jal abrogate ayat for? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is the famous ayah that is referred to this idea of nasakh, abrogation. He says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. That we do not abrogate an ayah, or we make it forgotten, except we bring something better than it, or just like it. Now the Shia, they'll say, better than it. In other words, he didn't know what was better, and then later on he knew what was better. So now we need to clarify this, so there cannot be an issue. Better than it, نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا, we come with a better ayah than it or like it. Better, in other words, better suited for the people, better for their guidance, what they need. So for a certain time, there is a certain instruction, a certain rule. And it doesn't apply for all times. It's only for that time. So when the ayah's purpose is fulfilled, He lifts the ayah and He removes it from the memory of the people. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ. Doesn't He know well who He created? Of course Allah Azza wa Jal knows us best. So if an ayah was revealed whose precise guidelines were necessary for an occasion, and then after, keeping the ayah would be of more of a harm than good, then Allah Azza wa Jal will remove it. So the wisdom behind the nasakh can be summarized basically in 3 points. Why does Allah Azza wa Jal reveal something and then a few years later He removes it, or He cancels out that legislation? The first of which is, they say, At-tadriju fi at-tashri'. Which translates to progression in legislation. So Allah Azza wa Jal reveals His verdict, His ruling on a certain matter progressively, step by step. And an example of this is, for example, the wine, khamr. Now you know wine, when Allah Azza wa Jal made it haram, it wasn't an instant. It wasn't straight away, it's haram, stay away from it. Actually, the first ayah that was revealed in this matter is in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They ask you regarding alcohol and gambling. That was the first ayah that was revealed in alcohol. And this ayah didn't say that alcohol was haram. Rather, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is, قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. There's a great sin in it. And it has a lot of bad, a great sin, and then Allah said, وَمَنَافِعُ. And it's got a bit of benefit, you know, money in terms of business and so on. So the companions, after they heard this ayah, they started feeling its bad effects and they started cutting down the wine. But not totally, because it wasn't haram yet. They used to keep drinking it, but they felt bad and they cut down a lot. Then the next ayah that was revealed a few years later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى حتى تعلموا ما تقولون. So this ayah abrogated the previous ayah. And this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only made wine haram when you're going to come to pray. So Allah says, don't come near the prayer if you're an intoxicated, drunken state. So now when the Sahaba heard this, pretty much during the day, they wouldn't drink because their prayers are so close to each other, so the drunkenness state will not go. So during the day, they'd avoid the wine, and when one would come back from his work and pray Maghrib and then pray Isha, some would just, they're tired after a long day, so they'll sleep and get prepared for Fajr the next day. And some would drink, but the drinking would happen now at a minimal time because you got to make sure you drink way before a prayer time so you cannot get out of your drunken state. Then the final ayah that was revealed in this matter is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. This is at the end, Allah Azza wa Jal says, stay away from it. In other words, it's become haram. And this ayah abrogated the previous ayah. So the previous ayah said, it's all right, as long as you don't drink it when it's time for salat. Now Allah Azza wa Jal made it permanently haram and said, stay away from it. And subhanAllah, you know, the companions after this, they said, intahayna rabbana intahayna. That's it. It didn't, yani, straight away they submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they said, we've let it go. We finished from it. And this progression, yani, by the progression, one ayah after the other after the ayah, it made it easy for the companions to now let go of the wine. So it wasn't like a shock, stay away from it. And this is one of the wisdoms of abrogation. It happens in progression, because Allah Azza wa Jal knew what the companions are capable of, and لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah doesn't burden the soul over what it can take and hold. And if Allah was to reveal haram instantly, maybe that's not something they would have been, they can take. So it came down progressively, bit by bit, then at the end it was made haram. So this is one of the wisdoms behind abrogation. Allah Azza wa Jal, in the end of matter, He's going to make it haram. But not initially. Progression. One stage by another, until it becomes easy for the people. Now they leave it totally. This is one of the wisdoms. Another wisdom is, كَمَالُ التَّسْلِيمِ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And this means the full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He abrogates ayat in the Qur'an. One reason is so He can test the submission and the obedience of the believers. And the best example for this is the changing of the Qibla. So at the beginning, the Muslims used to pray towards Jerusalem. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Turn your face away from Jerusalem towards Mecca. He ordered them to face Mecca. You know why? Just to test them. Nothing else, just to test them. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعِ الرَّسُولِ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ. That's the only reason. To see who is going to submit to the command and who's not going to obey. So this is another wisdom why abrogation would take place. To see from among these people, who's going to submit to Allah's command, whatever it is, regardless of what it is. And another wisdom in changing the Qibla was that it exposed the Jews. A lot of good came out of abrogation. One, to test the submission of the believers. The second thing was to expose the Jews. Now how did this happen? Because when Rasulullah ﷺ came to Medina, that's when the command happened. And يعني, the command was before, but when he came to Medina, he changed the Qibla. It happened there, he changed the Qibla, and he started praying towards Mecca. That happened in Medina. And then, before this, when the Prophet ﷺ was in Medina, of course the predominant audience in Medina are the Jews. Now the Jews, When the Prophet ﷺ came, of course they didn't accept him. They didn't accept the Quran, they didn't accept him, and they rejected him, and they refused what he has to offer. So now if the Jews, they really believe that Rasulullah ﷺ and his followers are all on misguidance, and they have nothing of the truth, that means they don't care about them, right? That's logic. If you are saying someone is misguided, you don't care what he does. That's none of your concern anymore. But when the Qibla changed from Jerusalem towards Mecca, Allah Azza wa Jal says that the Jews, they got up and they started speaking among one another. Allah says, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا وَلَّاهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. Allah called the Jews fools. He said that, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ, the fools of the people will say, why did these people change the Qibla? Why did they all of a sudden change from Jerusalem to Mecca? Now, if the Jews are claiming that the believers are on disguidance and they're on falsehood, what would they care if these people prayed this way or prayed that way or prayed that way? For the fact that they got up and said, hey, why did you change your direction? That already proves that there's something in their heart and that they knew this is the truth. And they became jealous. They became jealous over it. So the fact that Allah changed the Qibla, it exposed the reality of the Jews in that they really knew that Rasulullah ﷺ is a prophet of Allah. Otherwise, if they didn't care, why would they even make a big deal and ask this question? For a lot of good came behind this abrogation. And this is one part of the wisdom why Allah Azza wa Jal would abrogate certain ayat. And the third, wallahu a'lam, the third wisdom for this is at-takhfifu 'ala al-mu'minin, lightening the burden on the believers. For example, يعني the waiting period for a woman whose husband dies used to be 1 year. It used to be 1 year. If a woman, her husband was to die, she is to remain in her house. And she's not allowed to come out, not allowed to put perfume, not allowed to marry anyone for one whole year. Then later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated that legislation and he made it 4 months, 10 days 4 months and 10 days. And most definitely this is lightening the burden on the believing woman. So in other words, the abrogation would happen for these sort of things, these wisdoms. And now it becomes clear how wrong the people that say abrogation happens because Allah didn't know of something, then later on He knew it's better. By just studying the wisdom, we find out that that is totally wrong. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal would abrogate, wallahu alam, and this, yani a few more wisdoms for this, but this is what I can collect yani in this time. طيب, another interpretation for illa ma sha Allah, going back to the ayah, we just spoke about the abrogation and why this happens, and what got us to that subject is this ayah, illa ma sha Allah, except what Allah wills for you to forget. So the first meaning of except what Allah wills for you to forget, the first meaning of it was referring to abrogation. What Allah wills permanently for you to forget and He removes from this earth. The other meaning of illa ma sha Allah, except what Allah makes you forget, and this here is referring to the human nature of forgetfulness. So Allah Azza wa Jal made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes forget Quran in his salat. And Allah says illa. And this word illa, when it's used in the Arabic language, one of its implications is littaqleel, for a small number, for a few amount, an amount that's small. And subhanAllah, that is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word illa. And how many times do we count in the sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot Quran in his salat? Less than six. You can really count them on one hand. Five or six you can count. So the word illa already illustrates that the number of times he forgot is few. And when you look at the sunnah, you actually do find that the times he forgot Quran in his salat are a few. SubhanAllah, this brings the Quran and sunnah together. And at one instance, when the Prophet ﷺ, he finished his salat and he had forgotten to recite an ayah in the salat. So after the prayer, he looked at the crowd And he says to them, Afikum Ubay? Is Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu present among you? So Ubay, he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I'm here. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why didn't you remind me? Why didn't you open up and tell me what the ayah was that I forgot? So then Ubay radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I thought it had become abrogated. And so the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would forget Quran in his salah is an illustration that at the end, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just a human being that forgets. And who is beyond all imperfection in all the way and shape and form? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the beginning of the surah, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Declare the perfection of your Lord. He doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgets. So this is how, yani, subhanAllah, the connection of the whole surah comes in being. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so far and high, more above us. He's high above us. And he is nowhere near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no comparison. But his level is above us. So Allah azza wa jal, he establishes his perfection and he establishes his control over the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through these words, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. We need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb and He's also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Rabb. This is how we need to understand this. And this brings us to acknowledging the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just like He gave you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Qur'an, He gave you this gift, He will show you His power over this gift. It's not yours, it's been given to you. He's the one who guided you to it. So He might make you forget it. And this ayah, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ, also shows the ismah, the purity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is free of sin. Because you know, there are people that claim they are free of sin, like the priests and so on. They claim that they're ma'sumeen, they're free of sin. And they clean the people up and so on from their sins. And we as Muslims claim that the prophets are free of sin. But what is the difference between the two claims? Is that they're free of sin. If they make a mistake, they're never corrected. They're never corrected. And how do we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is free of sin? Is that if something human does happen from him, who corrects him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrects him. That in itself is a guarantee that he is on the right path and that Allah azza wa jal has selected him. So this in itself is a proof that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this is shared only under the words, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on and He says, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. And actually this ayah is placed in the same ayah. So, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. This is all one ayah. And in other words, it's all connected. Certainly, it is He who knows the visible, the obvious, the seen, and jahra, وَمَا يَخْفَى, and that which is hidden. And now since it is all the same ayah, it's one ayah, that means it's all referring and connected to each other. In other words, what that means, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرِ, He knows the obvious and the visible. That means He knows the parts of the Qur'an you recite with Jibreel alayhi salam. And He also knows وَمَا يَخْفَى, He knows that which is hidden. And He has knew about them all along. In other words, that refers to the abrogated ayat that everyone will eventually forget, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also will still know. So, innahu ya'lamu. Allah azza wa jal, He adds innahu. Now, as opposed to saying ya'lamu, the ayah would have been fine without the word innahu. Could have said, illa ma sha'a Allah, stop, ya'lamu al-jahra, Allahu ya'lamu al-jahra. But Allah says, innahu. Now, what does this imply? Is that firstly, innahu ya'lamu, the word he in English will be mentioned twice if you wanted to translate this. Innahu, the ha in hu, innahu is he. And then ya'lamu the ya in ya'lamu is also he referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's like the word he is mentioned twice. And by saying this, it implies that no one else except Allah knows. And you're saying certainly he alone knows al-jahra wa ma yakhfa. In other words, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, you are learning, but in the end, who truly has the full and complete knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so his superiority over his slave, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is illustrated with the words, innahu ya'lamu. Al-jahra. Al-jahra is whatever is seen or heard. Jahr is an activity that you do which everyone can see. And jahr is the opposite of sir. You have in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَسِرُّوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَوْ اِجْهَرُوا بِهِ. Make your words secret or make them public so everybody can know. This is the difference. The opposite of jahr is sir. Now what was expected in the ayah, that Allah Azza wa Jal brings the opposite. So what we were expecting is innahu ya'lamu al-jahra was-sir. But Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't use the opposite. He says wama yakhfa. And yakhfa, khafa, is to hide something so well that you don't even know it exists. So for example, you know, you find in Surah Taha, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says wa in tajhar bil qawl fa innahu ya'lamu as-sirra wa akhfa. Now this one's a tricky one. فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Sir is commonly translated as a secret. And أَخْفَى, what does أَخْفَى mean? If secret is sir, then what's even more than this? Well, أَخْفَى is a secret even more than a secret. How does this happen? Sir is a secret. And when I say a secret, in other words, I come and whisper the secret in your ear. Although no one heard it except the one you're saying to, but what happens is the words came out very silently and secretively that no one heard it except the one you're whispering it to. That's sir. Akhfa is the secret that is still within you that hasn't even come out. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that he knows what comes out and he even knows the secret that is still kept inside, hasn't come out yet. Innahu ya'lamu al-jahra وَمَا يَخْفَى. This is وَمَا يَخْفَى. And another thing to ponder here is that the word al-jahra came in a nominal form. It's a noun. وَمَا يَخْفَى, the word يَخْفَى is a verb. It came in the verbal form. So why does al-jahr, which means public, something seen and obvious, why did this come in the noun form? And why يَخْفَى, something hidden, came in the verb form in this ayah? Well, this is why. We learn that the verbs, and we've always said this, that verbs are temporary. In other words, they're limited. They have a limit to them. And nouns, on the other hand, they're unlimited. They don't finish. A noun is permanent and it continues. And that's why the beginning of the Fatiha was Alhamdulillah. All praise belongs to Allah. It wasn't Nahmadullah, because by saying Alhamdulillah, then you have said that the hamd, the praise, is permanent for Allah and it is unlimited. It's not limited to the humans, it is unlimited. Humans and the trees and the rocks and everything. This is by saying Alhamdu using the nominal form. Whereas if we said Nahmadullah, if that's how the Fatiha began, then we limited it to our hamd and we limited it to where, as we're saying, that Allah's praise only happens because we existed. But Alhamdu becomes more broad. In other words, unlimited hamd of Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَمَا يَخْفَى, he refers to the hidden in the verbal form. In other words, that what was hidden from the wahi, what Allah Azza wa Jal abrogated, is something that is limited. It's limited to a few ayat. So this is why the noun came, and also the noun came because things are not going to be hidden for a long time. Things in your heart, and things you say to people, and things you keep a secret, and the oppression people do to others and think it's kept a secret from Allah Azza wa Jal. Well, it is a secret, but it's not going to stay for long. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا يَخْفَى in the verbal noun, in the verbal tense, in the verbal form, referring and implying it's limited. In other words, your secret is also limited. It's not going to remain a secret for a long time. Eventually it is going to be exposed. So إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. Now the first comfort that Allah Azza wa Jal gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that you will not forget the Qur'an. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. That was the first comfort to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second comfort is وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. We will make easy for you. We will make things easy for you. But you know, this is what I want to share with you. In the Arabic language, you don't say وَنُيَسِّرُكَ. You don't say this. You say وَنُيَسِّرُ لَكَ. We will make easy for you. We say وَنُيَسِّرُ لَكَ. We say لَام. لَام means we will make easy for you. Now, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ, as it came in the ayah, if you literally want to translate it, it'll mean, we will make easy you. Now you don't say this in English, I'll make easy you. You say, I'll make easy for you. For means la. But what's happened here is that Allah Azza wa Jal has taken away this la. We don't find it here. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ. Why? This is what you need to study, why? So this la is a preposition. Preposition, in other words, it means for. It's used between words. And when taking away a preposition, what happens, you see that the word becomes closer to each other, right? Now, look at this. Nuyassiru is a verb that is going to be executed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is saying, we will make you, we will make easy for you. Nuyassiru. This verb is for Allah. The kaf is referring to who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we said, we will make easy for you. You is kaf. This is for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nuyassiru, the beginning of it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Allah removing the la, what has He made? The two close. In other words, what has happened is that Allah Azza wa Jal brings Himself close to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of love for him. So He says, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ. And He doesn't separate Him from the Messenger by adding a la. He gets rid of it so He can bring Him closer to Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this shows, or this is part of the beauty of the Qur'an, and in it, it's an expression of the love Allah Azza wa Jal had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is Allah Azza wa Jal going to make easy for him? What is this easy thing? He says, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَ. But just before I say what it is, you know, if someone says they'll make something easy for you, what do you think? That something was hard to begin with, something was difficult, then it is made easy. But Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَ. You know what that means? Allah is telling him, I'll make easy for you the path so you can eventually get to the ultimate ease. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَ. لِلْيُسْرَ, it's the superlative form of أَيْسَر, which means the ultimate incredible ease. Nothing easier than this. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells him, I'll make the path easy so you can get to that which is even more easier. And what does all this mean? Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed that the struggle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be made miraculously easy for him by Allah Azza wa Jal's intervention. Just as Allah Azza wa Jal took the task of the Qur'an, and just as Allah Azza wa Jal took away the difficulty of memorizing the Qur'an and this concern and worry of memorizing the Qur'an from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He will also make everything else easy. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَ. The first meaning of this is, as we already read, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned about the memorizing of the Qur'an, and Allah made that path easy for him. He removed this worry and concern away from him. I'll make you recite. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. We have made it easy to memorize. And you know, subhanAllah, go, it's a challenge that Allah Azza wa Jal declared in the Qur'an almost 4 times. And how many millions around the world have memorized? This is part of the miraculous meaning of the Qur'an. You know, it claimed that it's easy to memorize, and then practically it did happen. So many have memorized it. Whereas get someone that has memorized any other book other than the Qur'an, you will never find this. You will never find it. And in this quantity, in this number of how many people have memorized the Qur'an. So that's the first guarantee. That's the first easy path that Allah Azza wa Jal made for the Prophet, is that he took care of the memorization for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The second is his struggle in this world, the da'wah that he gives. Now literally the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. He has a huge task. He has this Qur'an to deliver to the people. And he knows that the people's salvation will be in this book forever, till the end of the day. And he only has 23 years to bring this out to the people. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. We will make that easy for you. And subhanAllah, يعني this, every time the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through tough times, all he had to remind himself is of this ayah. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. Don't worry, Allah Azza wa Jal has taken control of the situation and he's making things ultimately easy till you reach to the easiest path. لِلْيُسْرَى, also there's a hadith we find that the Prophet ﷺ says, دِينُ اللَّهِ يُسْرٌ. That the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is easy. And in other words, the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that has been made easier and not something that is difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. He didn't say, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيَسِيرِ. لِلْيَسِيرِ would have meant, we're going to make it easy so you can get to the easy path. But لِلْيُسْرَى means to the easiest. يعني subhanAllah, how Allah Azza wa Jal made this deen easy in so much that Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah An-Nisa, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. That Allah Azza wa Jal, he wants to lighten your burden. He wants to lighten the burden. For this is something we find in وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. And I'll just conclude inshaAllah ta'ala with not the whole ayah, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى, just with the first word. فَذَكِّرْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَا. And this fa means a conclusion. Therefore, after your concerns have been removed, after Allah told him, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى, that ayah removed all the Prophet's concern of forgetting the Qur'an, it was removed. Of the struggles in da'wah, it was removed. After all this, after all your problems have gone and they've been taken care of by Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, now you have to get back onto your mission, فَذَكِّرْ. Get back onto the mission. What is the mission? Remind the people. Now, you know, what's interesting is that normally you expect the verb ذَكِّرْ to be followed by something. For example, you say ذَكِّرْنِي, remind me. Or you say ذَكِّرْهُ, remind him. Or you say ذَكِّرِ النَّاسِ, remind the people. But here, no object was mentioned. Allah didn't say who to remind. He just said فَذَكِّرْ. In other words, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, no matter where you are, and no matter what the situation is, and no matter who's in front of you, don't worry about this. Your main goal and the main purpose is فَذَكِّرْ, full stop. Just do the action. Don't worry about who it's for. So Allah removed that. He didn't say فَذَكِّرِ النَّاسِ, remind the people. He said فَذَكِّرْ, full stop. Remind. That's all. That is the job. Remind. Did he say who? Where? What time? When? No. So because he didn't limit it to anything, it means just remind whoever's before you. And subhanAllah, you know, this is the second commandment that comes in the Qur'an, that comes in this surah. The second commandment. Who can tell me what the first commandment was? Sabbih. Now can you see something? سبح and فذكر is a summary of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's life. If he's not فذكر, if he's not reminding, what is he doing? سبح. He's either standing at night praying, or he's either making ذكر to Allah عز وجل. And if he's not praying, if he's not making ذكر, where is he? Outside فذكر. These are the two things that he's doing. It's a summary of his entire life. And this is something you should be doing as well. يعني, this is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not one second of his life was wasted. It was either سبح or it was either ذكر. And I'll just give you in conclusion, يعني, what does it mean to ذكر anyone? Look at this. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's uncle, Abu Lahab. Who's Abu Lahab? Amr, his uncle. Where is he? His fate has been sealed. He is destined for the fire, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته. Him and his wife. But look at this. It already came in the Quran. It's already confirmed. He's going to the fire. But does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still have to remind him? Yes. But well, there's no use. But don't worry if there's no use. See, that's why the ayah said, فَذَكِّرْ. Don't worry whether it gives benefit, whether there's no benefit. You just do what you have to do, and that is ذَكِّرْ. If Abu Lahab, who's destined to the fire, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said, Ya Allah, what should I remind him for? But he's going to the fire anyway. And that's part of the Qur'an. And it's Qur'an. So in other words, if Abu Lahab becomes a Muslim, then the Qur'an is wrong. And he doesn't, يعني, this is, his fate is sealed, it's done. But still, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Remind, this is for the Prophet ﷺ, the first he has to remind his family. And this is his family, Abu Lahab is his uncle. So he still reminds him. Look at Fir'aun. Fir'aun, as wicked and as evil as this person is, doesn't Allah Azza wa Jal still send him a reminder? He reminds him and he sends him Musa alayhi salam alongside with Harun, his brother. Why? Just so they can remind him. So in other words, when you remind, keep in your mind that, you know, sometimes, يعني, you're with family, you're with relatives, and you think, oh man, my brother did something wrong. Maybe it's not the time now to give him the nasiha. Or your cousin did something wrong. Maybe it's not the time. Maybe they'll take it differently. Maybe they'll take it to heart. They'll think of me like this. You're not supposed to be thinking what others will think. Your job is فذكر, give. Now, maybe your nasiha, your da'wah to these people will not have an effect the same second. It might, the effect of your da'wah might come and prevail three, four years later after you. Then this has happened in history before. So يعني, when you stick to the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal, you stick to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you feel at ease, you feel rest. So this is, يعني, wallahu alam, we'll seal off and we'll finish our conclusion inshallah ta'ala with this word. فذكر inshallah ta'ala next week. We'll continue in نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. And what does actually in نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ mean? That'll be for next week inshallah ta'ala. Before we conclude this session, is there any question? Everything was clear. طيب الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.